Subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
With your hosts, Mike Hicks and Aaron Newton.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, podcast number 38 is getting ready to fire up. And we've got at KY Crazy Aaron calling from Memphis. And we're going to discuss the North Carolina game and, of course, the Battle of the Bluegrass coming up Wednesday night against your brother. We'll be right back.
John Calipari, New York Times bestselling author. Success is the only option. The Art of Coaching Extreme Time. The new book from John Calipari. Pre-order yours today. Release date November 15th, 2016. Pre-order your copy today on KentuckyCrazies.com.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, we got something a little bit different going on tonight. To my left is normally at KY Crazy Aaron, but tonight it is a phone to my left, and from the phone is at KY Crazy Aaron in Memphis.
Hello, I'm all the way down here in Memphis, Tennessee. Ate the barbecue.
What's
I'm gonna watch the Memphis Grizzlies and Boston Celtics play tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was gonna ask what has gotten you all the way to Memphis on the days before the big matchup with the Cardinals. What do you have? You have tickets to the game tonight, or is that I guess tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night, and we've kind of been doing a family trip the last few years around Christmas, and we've tended to involve an NBA game with some former Cats involved, and we've seen Brandon Knight with the Bucks in Atlanta, and then we've also seen him in Phoenix last year with Devin Booker and Archie Goodwin, and the first trip we actually made was to Chicago. We saw Patrick Patterson and Chuck Hayes with the Raptors play against Nazi Muhammad.
Very cool. So which players are going to be playing tomorrow night?
Well, Andrew Harrison's with the Grizzlies. He's been playing a ton of minutes. He's actually been starting for a while, but Michael Conley has been out. He returned, I believe it was their last game, so Andrew's minutes have been cut somewhat, but he's still playing, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game. And, Andrew Harrison, I probably pull for him more than any other kid from Kentucky just because of, as you know, all the issues, you know, fan-wise that he had here at Kentucky. So he's kind of become my favorite in the NBA.
And once again, that is at KY Crazy Aaron on Twitter, and he's calling from Memphis tonight, and you can find us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And also, you can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-2287. That's 859-780-CATS. And of course, this is Mike Hicks with the voice not built for radio.
I also need to mention James Young is on the Celtics roster, but he hasn't played in quite a while. But hopefully tomorrow night he'll get his butt off the bench.
I was watching Phoenix and the Timberwolves just a little bit earlier tonight. I didn't get to see how that game. It's probably finishing up about right now. But there was a sequence where Devin Booker gave a little forearm shimmy to the lower back of Karl Towns, and he took a pretty hard fall to the ground. It wasn't really like an intentional thing, but they were both were kind of going for a loose ball. And I thought how horrible that would be if, I mean, when Karl went down, he went down awkwardly. And I thought how terrible that would be if Devin was the one that caused some kind of injury. But he got up, you know, and he was able to get back over the free throw line. So,
Brent. Booker's kind of been a big bully. You know, he was picking on Boogie Cousins there early in the season. And I don't think Boogie's afraid of anybody.
No, I think Boogie could take that for sure. And Brandon Knight had 12 points in that game. It was good to see, once again, so many Cats on the court. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Malik Monk? Hey,
how can we not?
The North Carolina win was 103-100, and one of the best college basketball games you will ever watch in your life. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and everyone looks at the score, and it's easy to say that there was no defense played. But oddly enough, watching the game, I felt that both teams played fairly decent defense. It just goes to show how good both of these teams are offensively.
I agree. Coach Cal talked on that tonight. He said it was just a great game to watch, you know, as a from a fan perspective. He said he never watches tape as a fan. He always, you know, he's looking to see what to improve on. But he did note that Carl Towns sent him a tweet that said, "That's two games you've allowed 100 points, Coach." You know, boasting about. He goes, "When we score 100, the other team scores 60. So, but yeah. Anytime you play North Carolina, you know, you're going to always have a high-scoring game, and they're always going to be – they play the game the right way, offensively sound. They don't do any of that Duke stuff or the Louisville stuff where they – head bob and get your, you know, get the arms in you and all that. They play it the right way, and I think that's important. I think both coaches kind of let the kids go, you know?
Yeah, that, you know, I love watching that game with Carolina, and then also Kansas. You know, I have some respect for Kansas because it seems like they do things, as we like to say, the right way as well. And those are games that are usually, you know, a joy to watch. Whether we win or lose, it's a lot more fun when we win, of course, I'm sure.
I agree.
Carolina fans didn't enjoy watching that game a whole lot at the end.
No, I agree. And, you know, I hate to say this, but UCLA is playing the same way, too. They're playing what I call straight up and down, where their bodies, you know, on defense, they're playing defense the way it's meant to be played. And we don't need to get UCLA to have number 12 anytime soon. But
no.
But they also, you know, they're fun to watch because it's offensively driven, and it's not this, you know, hack and slap and push and shove and hope the referees don't call all the fouls that we know some teams play. But
I saw an interesting question posted by, from someone the other day. Said, would you rather see UCLA win their 12th or, say, a Duke or a Carolina win another championship?
Wow, that's a tough one. I'd almost rather UCLA get one because I feel like that we can still – chase them and catch them. I don't want anybody to catch us.
No, I don't mind UCLA getting further away, but I don't want anybody to get closer to us. That's why I would have to agree.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't have to think too long about that one. But so a couple of numbers just to throw out there. Monk had, you know, the 47, of course, and on only 28 shots, and it was pretty much, dare I say, effortless looking. He didn't really, like, take a bad shot. Well, let me take it back. He took some bad shots, but they looked easy for him to take.
I can really only think of one bad shot that he took that was really forced, and that was one that was from the, you know, the far corner where he just had 2 men in his face. He was almost fading away or fading towards the baseline and threw one up, and that was towards the end of the game. But other than that, every shot, I think he had his feet set. You know, he was facing the basket. I didn't see too many bad shots.
Yeah, I didn't either. He only missed 10, and when you take 28, that's a pretty good night.
Yeah.
It's,
and the last six were just huge.
Yeah, I've got to throw in and give Briscoe some props, too, because he hit a massive 3-4 when we needed a bucket, you know, late in the game. And, you know, Briscoe gets, whenever you get a guy that, well, I mean, Fox had 24 and 10.
Yeah.
And, of course, Malik was the star of the game. And it's easy to forget some of the plays that the other guys made to make the win happen. It's easy to focus on the 47. And, of course, we wouldn't have won it without those. But it was a team effort.
Oh, by far. And we definitely saw some spots we need to really work on, get stronger, and we knew this already from the UCLA game, but the four spot is definitely going to be a target for other teams to come at us. You saw Carolina at the start of the second half, the first four or five possessions, they went right at Wingy Gabriel, and he really could do nothing with whoever he was guarding, which most time was Hicks, I believe.
Yeah, I thought Wingy struggled a little bit defensively, and you're right. You know, the other teams that are capable, that have good players, are coming right at the fore. I thought another thing that Coach Cal talked about tonight on his call-in show, which I thought was pretty interesting, considering Michael Mulder didn't see the court. Am I correct about that? Okay, but this is interesting. He said that he believes there's times this year where he can play the four, and he said we can play a style of ball that Villanova plays. He named them specifically and said against smaller teams, we could put Mulder at the four, and he got Bam at the five. And he said Mulder can rebound, Mulder can shoot. He goes, and there's going to be some opportunities for us to play that lineup, which I found to be really interesting, considering he didn't see the court. Of course, North Carolina's pretty big, so maybe that's why he didn't see the court.
I mean, yeah, but they are very big. But if Gabriel is struggling the way he is, why not throw Mulder? Because Mulder can rebound. You know, I haven't crunched numbers or anything like that, but I would almost bet that he averages more rebounds per minute than anybody on the team.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here would be my answer to that. Cal has a way with certain players, well, all players. He doesn't want you to do something that you can't do as well. You know, focus on your three or four things that you do better than anything else and get those things to be better. And I feel like that in his mind, this would be my guess, Cal sees Gabriel as having to get better in that position that we need him to get better in, guarding bigger guys, you know, quicker guys. And then Mulder can focus on the things, the rebounding and the shooting. And so that might be the reason.
Yeah, I would almost rather have seen us go big and have Humphreys in there with Bam. You know, we've done that a time or two this year. I know Humphreys struggled, but he did come up big there at the end. It kind of went unnoticed, but the last possession, Carolina had a shot. Well, not the very last possession, but before that, before we shot the free throws, Humphreys made a very good defensive play that forced kind of a really bad shot. And that was probably the biggest play of the game for him at that point.
I agree. He also came up with a big rebound in that last minute or so. And once again, those are the little things that it's easy to look at the 47 points, but it's truly a team effort to get that one rebound and that defensive stop. Actually, they brought that up again tonight, was the defensive stop from Isaac. Those things matter in big games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the other team's scoring so easily.
It's hard to have a game like Fox did, 24-10, and really go unnoticed.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then also, the kid from Carolina had a huge game, and nobody's talking about that.
No. If they won, they would be.
They would be, yeah. And Malik would be still part of the headline, but a footnote. It was just a fun game to watch, and one that I have to say that last sequence with the shot clock, or the game clock, that was really getting under my skin, man. Because how many times would they stop it that much for us? That's all. You know, because you're going to tell me it took 1.8 seconds to not go out where you throw the ball to half court, the guy travels, gets a timeout.
Oh, yeah, he traveled.
He gets a timeout. Then De'Aaron Fox gets his hands on the ball, and there's still 0.6? Something's not right there. That sounds like a dookie to me, but... All right, well, you got anything else on the Carolina game before we take a break and come back and talk about the Dirty Birds?
No, it's just, you know, we said before that was a huge game, not necessarily because it was, you know, this time of year, but at the end of the year for seeding. You know, we've already lost the one game for UCLA, so this was a huge game as far as seeding come the tournament.
I agree with that. The polls didn't really change much today, which I don't guess, you know, of course, it doesn't matter much, but we didn't move up in either poll, but nobody ahead of us lost. So
no.
I think that's a big reason for that. And I think Carolina dropped a spot in the AP poll. But you win or you lose a top 10 game like that, two teams in the top 10, it's not going to really hurt you come seeding time. But like you said, that's the thing that can make you be a 1 or a 2 or a 2 over a 3. With a win, you know, like that. So, yeah, that's a good point. Well, like I said, at KY Crazy Aaron is in Memphis tonight giving us a buzz to talk a little Kentucky basketball. And After this break, we'll come back and talk about the big matchup with the Louisville Cardinals. I'll be nice this time.
KentuckyCrazies.com.
Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Well, it's a game every year the state looks forward to. It's the Battle of the Bluegrass, the Commonwealth team, Kentucky Wildcats versus the Louisville Cardinals. Personally, I can't wait for the game to be over every year since Cal came here against Patino. Sometimes, Aaron, it just gets a little too heavy for me.
It does, and it's, I think if it was another coach at Louisville, it wouldn't, you know, of course, the rivalry between the two, but it just wouldn't be that animosity. You know, I could, personally, I mean, I want to beat them, but I could care less what Louisville did outside of Kentucky. And then, you know, ever since the game with Cousins and Bledsoe, you know, that matchup there with Louisville, I mean, it was just almost a fist fight breaking out several times during the game. I was ready for it to be over with right then.
Yeah, of course, we've lived through a lot of non-Patino Calipari era Louisville Kentucky rivalry games, and it's a rivalry game in a healthier sense, and it's just something that was brought to the table with Cal. I mean, because basically Cal raises the bar, and Patino started pulling out all the stops, talking trash before the first game, and like you said, I mean, it was in the air before the tip-off had even happened. And it's not a friendly environment at all. It's
no, and if you think he was feeling pressure then, what do you think he's feeling now?
Yeah, that's a good point. Calipari is 8-1 since arriving here, and that includes two tournament games, and one of them in the Final Four, and the other one, a lot of Louisville fans say is the toughest loss they've ever had when we were the 8 seed and they were the 4 seed up in Indy. And you know, those
that was a lot of fun.
That was awesome. And in a weird way, that was one for us where we were almost expected to not win. And so that's kind of how they are every year, you know. That was maybe the only time, because, you know, the Nerlens year that we did get beat, the one time we did lose, it wasn't that big of a mismatch other than being there, being played there.
No, and we had a shot to win that game.
Yeah, only got beat by 3. It was the worst team in the Cal era. And that was their national title team.
Yeah, until their Louisville's best team.
Yeah, until their banner comes down after the Katina stuff. But when that banner comes down, we can say the Cal is 8-0 against them.
Yeah.
But here's a couple other numbers. We've won 8 of the last 9, of course, 11 of the last 14. And here's a crazy stat here I was just looking at. Calipari and Patino, when they coached at Kentucky, they are a combined 12-2 against Louisville.
And Gillespie lost how many times in his 2 years?
He was 0-2 in 2 years.
Yeah, 0-2.
So, you know, if you're a decent to good coach, then you come to Kentucky, you're going to win the game pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. But it helps when you get the best players.
Which which brings us to the matchup this year. What are your thoughts about the matchups?
The only thing Louisville has that I worry about is their size. And after seeing the Carolina game, I'm a little bit more at ease because I believe Carolina is a much better team. So, you know, with Meeks and Hicks and even the Bradley kid coming off the bench, I believe Carolina is much more superior than Louisville. Louisville, you know, Matthew Ng is decent. The big Egyptian, I can't remember his name, Muhammad or whatever it was. You know, he's, to me, I still think he's probably the most skilled player that they have in the post, but he gets lost. The guards are good, but compared to our guards, I don't see them handling us at all.
It's really, you know, basically any Kentucky-Louisville game, it's always going to be, in a way, a toss-up. No matter what talent is on either side, just because of the, you know, heated rivalry that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a weird matchup because this is probably the least I've watched them in the most recent years. So, but I am familiar. I do think their bigs, like you said, is our biggest issue going into the game. And I'm going to actually, in a negative way, disagree with you a little bit because I think their bigs and what they bring can give us more trouble than what Carolina's bigs can bring because Louisville's bigs are a little bit more quicker and athletic and they're longer where, you know, Carolina's a little more, bit more bulky and maybe a little bit slow under, you know?
And, but Carolina was much deeper at that spot. I don't believe Louisville goes very deep.
Right. And they've got a few athletic guys. Adele and I forget one of the other guys' names.
The one I'm always forgetting is Johnson.
Yeah, that's one I was trying to think.
Yeah, I always seem to forget about him, and he may be their best player on the floor other than Donovan Mitchell.
It's amazing to watch the way Pitino chooses to coach his teams because some of his younger guys, like I said this about Quinn Snyder whenever one of their guards got injured and he ended up having to play the rest of the year. When he was a freshman, every time he would get in the game, I was like, why isn't he playing more? And it seems like during, when Rick's at Louisville, basically, some of the most talented guys are sometimes the younger guys that don't get the minutes.
And I've even heard, the two or three Louisville fans that I know actually complain about V.J. King not playing enough. And, again, that's what Pitino does. He supposedly does not believe in the one-and-dones, even though he recruits them. But he recruits them, he just doesn't play them like one-and-dones. He almost forces them to stay longer.
Yeah, he sits on them until he thinks that they're in. Because it goes back to what Coach Cal always says, you know, I don't run a system. And Pitino runs a system. And not until you're ready to do exactly what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, are you going to play. And that, you know, that's not speaking anything bad about the kids because that would make everybody have a learning curve, you know. And so it does make sense when he does sit on them because he's got a system. But I'm thinking, man, you could open that up pretty quickly with them, you know. I'm glad he doesn't do it. And I think, you know, in a way it's helped us play them a little bit early in some years when, because we obviously play younger guys, but they're a lot more talented, you know, of course. So, but yeah, Rick came out today and said he was wanting to run with the Cats.
Oh, please. Please do.
I mean, I have some land in Florida that I could sell you. Because we all know when Rick opens his mouth, he speaks, he lies, right?
Yeah, you know that's not going to happen. It's going to be the zones. It's going to be packing it in. It's going to be trying to make us run clock. He's not that big of a fool.
I think he's going to try to trap some in the half court to make our guys make decisions. You know, I think he's going to try to make us. Here's how he, Rick runs his games like he runs his life. It's meant to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he may try to press at times to see what fouls that they can get away with, and the officials have already been announced, so they've kind of got a break in that area with Roger Ayers being one of the officials. And what is Kentucky's record with him? Was 11-8, I think is what it was. Or not very good.
It's not very good. And also, what's the other official I saw? And he's one of the two or three that
Lucky.
Jamie Lucky. I said he's the one that's kind of one of Rick's back pocket buddy guys, you know.
Yeah, and Roger Ayers has teed Caleb three times.
Yeah, Roger Ayers is no friend of ours for sure, and that's just the win and loss record, you know. So, not already making excuses, Louisville fans, it's just reality. Because, see, we go a lot deeper than the Linebeards and you know, the Crown Royal and all that kind of stuff, and trash talking. We go a lot deeper than that. We know the records of officials when we play games, so. Oh, let's go. I'm ready to tip off.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to end it and have a celebration beer.
Celebration beer after the victory. What do you think is going to happen score-wise? I mean, these are hard games to call.
Well, Louisville does have a hard time scoring. And Kentucky has no problem scoring. So it's going to be whatever style wins out. And to me, with our athletes and what we can do and with our depth and Malik Monk, he's proven that he loves the big games. I believe it's going to be Kentucky by a fairly large margin, I have a feeling.
I like the sound of that. I'm going to, barring like some kind of bizarro world where everybody goes code for the Cats, I'm going to say it's still going to be an ugly game, because with that environment that's there and everything that we just talked about, I have a feeling it's going to be a really ugly game and low scoring for our standards, but I still say we score in the upper 70s. I'm gonna give maybe a 76-68 score, somewhere in that range, and kind of battling back and forth, but never out of question. 78. What did I say? 76-68.
If we don't get into the 80s, I will be surprised.
I hope you're right, because I just want to sit back and enjoy the beatdown. I want to see Malik Monk dunk on somebody's noggin. Just get the victory, man. Just get the victory.
And move on.
Get the victory, move on. It's going to be their Super Bowl. And to us, it's the next game on the schedule.
Yep.
So.
Well, it's a little bit more than the next game on our schedule, but that's how we like to talk about it. But
well,
deep down, we know it's a little bit more than that.
Only because it's their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, because I win, I go home. They win, they come out from the woodworks.
And we've seen it doesn't matter if they win or lose, they do that anyway.
That's true. All right. Well, Aaron, you got anything else?
No, so we're going to leave out of here early Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be home in time to catch the game on television. If not, I'll be listening to the Mike and Tom on the way.
You think you'll be able to get back to watch it, or?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, we need you back in your comfy seat with your with your lamp on. And
with my lamp on, yes.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in tonight. It's been interesting for me talking to a phone. But it was great, and big win over Carolina. Another big win coming up Wednesday night against the Cards. We got to beat them. Let's get them. Go Cats!
Time. Stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Kentucky Crazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.